Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, High Spot Podcast, and all our social media outlets. Follow us on Instagram, on Snapchat, and our Facebook page, as well as our brand spanking new website, highspotpodcast.com. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew in our partnership with B Plus Player Radio Network and Fans Podcast. Man, a very special episode of the High Spot Podcast. We are coming to you on the eve of MLW One Shot. This has been talked about for the longest time, and it happens Thursday night from Gilt Nightclub in Orlando, Florida, headlined by Shane Strickland and Ricochet. Hey, bro, you say those two names, and I'm already sold. And we have a very special guest on the show tonight, Shane Strickland. What's going on, man? Exciting time here on the High Spot Podcast.
We got the man himself, Shane Strickland, we're going to speak to in a few minutes. So looking forward to that. But, this has the makings of what you like to call, in professional wrestling, a big money fight. That's what the feeling's like for me. I mean, you go to MLW.TV, you see the video vignette. It's basically a build-up. It's the equivalent of UFC Countdown. Or choose a favorite boxing match, you know, 24-7. It could be called 24-7 Strickland Ricochet. That's how good it is in terms of the fact that you really dive into their lives before they step into the ring, right?
Just like HBO does it. Very nice. Sounds
just
familiar.
Just like HBO does it, exactly. So I should be paid royalties for that, hopefully I don't have to pay them. But it has that feeling, that atmosphere. And what I like so much about these two competitors that are going to be competing against each other is that it has a feeling of realism. But the thing is, Jeff, it is real. Because both of these two want to best the other. It's that sense of just healthy competition. There doesn't have to be any resentment towards a certain individual. You just want to be better than everybody else.
But it's healthy competition between two friends, and that's the best thing. Because not only is it just friends or brothers or sisters, it's that competition, that rivalry among friends where you got to be, you know, it's not...
It's for bragging rights.
Exactly. And you don't have to be, you know... It brings out that competitive edge, you know? And what I love about these episodes that we've watched is that it's kind of added a new dynamic to Ricochet, because we're watching this in prep for our interview with Shane Strickland, and we're seeing a trend of where Ricochet seems to be that, you know, that guy who's up on his throne, and this is kind of maybe like a favor to Shane in this matchup. And obviously you can see that Shane's taking this a little bit more seriously. But then again, though, you know, Ricochet is that veteran who knows what he's doing, and when he comes on and it's time to perform, you know, he'll turn it on. So it's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this, Jeff, is that you just mentioned about Ricochet. Yeah, the thing is, from all the interviews I've ever seen Ricochet, of whatever competitor he's spoken about, it's always been this humbleness, this kind, this honored, respectful to be in this situation. I'm going to give it my 100%. This is the first time that I can remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, that I've seen another side of Ricochet. And I'm not going to go to the extent that all the money and the glamour has gotten to his head. No, but maybe finally, maybe this is a good thing. He's probably had it for a long time, but that confidence in himself. I am the top guy. Everybody wants to be me now. And now it's up for them to prove me wrong. And right now he feels he's on a level like nobody else. He mentioned it in the series too, where he's like, maybe Shane Strickland could be on my level. Maybe. But he's not giving him that credit. And you're right. When it comes to friends, there is this healthy rivalry. Everybody wants bragging rights. But again, when it's a competition between two friends, there are no friends when you step into that squared circle, Jeff.
Oh,
and
yeah,
even if they are your friends, that means you're going to go a little harder. You're going to go a little faster. You're going to hit a little bit tougher. You're not going to give it easy, because you know what? Even though they're friends, they know you better than most people
know
yourself.
Oh, yeah, make sure he feels me. Make sure that you know that that's Ricochet in the ring.
So if you're Ricochet or Strickland, this is so important, because you want to prove who's better in this one.
Listen, we're not bookers, but this is a perfect storyline right here. This is a storyline where, for example, if me and you were going to get into a fight, I would put you to the side. But this is so easy. We're going to work the crowd. This is what we're going to do. This is the typical friend story that I got to be better. You're the man. I got to beat you to be the man. And this is what it's going to take. I'm going to have to work my ass off. And, of course, you're the veteran. You're the one that's going to take it easy to pace yourself. And you don't really see me as a threat. You see me as that friend. You see me as that guy that you taught under your wing, that's that, you know, happy-go-lucky, naive kind of guy. But no, 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 because that's taking me lightly. And this is the perfect storyline, and well done by Kurt Bauer. And anything that he does is just amazing. Of course, very successful in the podcasting business as far as a former WWE creative. Anything he touches is turning into gold. And this right here, you have an amazing night, an amazing card, headlined by Ricochet and Shane Strickland, two of the very best in the business, period.
Yes, and another thing, and one more thing, and I'll finish talking about the series that you'll get on the website on MLW.TV, is that you get a little more glimpse into their lives. And I think us as wrestling fans, I think those who listen to the High Spot podcast would agree, it's more intriguing the build-up to something like this, more of the behind-the-scenes of the real-life atmosphere of what it takes for these individuals to get themselves prepared for, whether it be a match, whether it be getting booked for a certain promotion, whether it be getting recognized or getting a certain amount of hits on Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want to call it. It's that struggle to get to that mainstream type level, which everybody wants to get to and get recognized for. I think seeing that struggle, seeing that fire, seeing the good and the bad with it, I think makes us as fans just become more invested into something like that, because we're rooting. Whether you're rooting for Strickland, whether you're rooting for Ricochet, or whether you want both to do really well, you're behind it. You're invested into this match just by seeing it on paper. But when you see the backstories and you see the behind-the-scenes stuff, you just get that much more into it, to the point where either you're for Strickland, you're for Ricochet, you want one to win over the other.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, who are you for? After talking to Shane, and we're going to get into this interview, and then knowing Ricochet, who you love, you're a huge fan of his work, who are you pulling for?
It's tough. Here's the thing. It'd be easy for me to say I'm pulling for Strickland because we're having him on the show, but I have to say I am, because you know what? Here's the thing. When you look at a guy like Ricochet, you hate to say that somebody like him right now, his name's already cemented, he can do no wrong, or it doesn't hurt him, but I really feel it doesn't. I think Strickland needs this, because I feel when you hear him talk, and he's very passionate, very well spoken, he wants this to be kind of a stepping stone, but this to cement the fact that he's here. That he has arrived. Now, he's had several other matches that kind of have proven that statement, but I think this one means a lot more to him, and which is why the build-up's so good. So I think right now, the way Strickland's so focused, I mean, to Ricochet, I'm not saying he's overlooking Shane, but this could be another day in walk in the park, because he's been in this situation before. Shane hasn't. So it's very easy for somebody to say, well, Shane's never been in this situation. He can falter under the pressure, but you know what? It's that type of pressure you want. And for a guy like Ricochet, I got the feeling maybe he's not 100% invest in this, because he feels like he's doing a favor for Shane to give him this match. And I think Shane right now is hungry, he's focused, he's driven, and I think he's going to surprise Ricochet, and Ricochet is going to kind of rule the day. He kind of overlooked Shane Strickland.
All right, so that's our opinion, and honestly,
what do you got in this one?
Well, you know what? Honestly, after talking to Shane, I really think that, you know, Shane really, obviously, he's put himself in a situation where he can't lose, where, you know, he it's just not going to be in his vocabulary. And I think that, again, this isn't hurt Ricochet at all, but this really means a lot to Shane Strickland in his progression to get to the next level. You know, it's beyond just him. It's putting food on the table. It's providing for his family. And when you get a guy like that that's hungry and that's just willing to do whatever it takes for his family, you're talking about a different kind of animal. So we're going to let you guys be the judge. I think Shane Strickland's going to come out on top of victorious. It's going to be a classic match that will be talked about even next week when we're on the show. But it's a whole different animal, Shane Strickland. And we talk about the Lucha Underground matchup that he had with Dante Fox. We talk about the follow-up to his matchup with Ricochet. It all happens MLW One Shot on this Thursday, October the 5th, from Gilt Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. So many things to discuss with Shane Strickland, and here he is on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Brian, we are on the eve of MLW One Shot from Orlando at the Gilt Nightclub, and the main event is going to be Shane Strickland against Ricochet. It's going to be an amazing matchup, man. This is, honestly, man, it's probably going to be the biggest matchup of Shane Strickland's career. And right now joining us is Shane Strickland. You can follow him on Twitter at Strickland Shane. Shane, what's going on, man?
How's everything going, man? Everything's going good for me over here, though.
Yeah, listen, he's taking the time out of his workout in preparation for Ricochet. We are on the eve of One Shot. How you feeling?
My body's feeling the best it's been in like the last 2-3 years. And that's barring a lot of the bumps and bruises that I've been taking. And I'm not having any lingering pain. So this is the best I've been in like 2-3 years, for sure.
Now you're talking about lingering pain, and before we get to this matchup between with Ricochet, again, looking forward to it. But I got to talk to you about what we saw. You and Dante Fox, man, that was crazy. A lot of people are talking about that. First and foremost, you are Killshot at Lucha Underground. Talk about that matchup. Talk about just the feeling of afterwards and what you guys put your bodies through. Talk about that matchup, man.
Well, that's what happens when a creative team and like the writing team fully trusts your work rate and trusts your opinions and your mindset for those kind of matches. Because by that time, Fox had just by that season, the beginning of that season, I already did Weapons of Mass Destruction matchup, and so they already trusted me with those big match situations type or big those big stipulation type matches. And Fox was just coming in, and they already knew Fox's track record and how good he was going to be. And they put his skill set and his mindset for those type of matches, put with me creating those type of matches and stuff, and put our two minds together, trusting us to go out there for like 30 minutes and just go all out and do whatever we'd like. You get magic like that, you know. Season 3 was definitely my, I would say it was definitely the full encompassing of what I can do in the ring on every aspect. When it comes to like brawling outside with Sammy Callahan, aka Jeremiah Crane, comes the lucha and high spot type of fast paced matches with AR Fox. Then you had me working with Marty the Moth in the Weapons of Mass Destruction match. Then it all culminating with Hell of War. It shows every avenue of what I can do, and not to mention the little vignettes that I had in between those episodes and stuff. So I feel like season 3 was just like my full resume of everything that I have to offer, and there's no better way to end it with the Hell of War.
Well, Shane, there's no doubt it was a culmination of a lot of things building up, which made it such a great and incredible match, which, you know, I knew that I was no part of it whatsoever myself, but as an audience watching it, I was starting to ache and feel pain that I had never experienced before. Just looking at that type of match and what you guys were putting your bodies through. You talked about entrusting the mindset of the two individuals going in there and doing it. Can you kind of take me into the mindset of, you know, we always talk about ring psychology and every match is different. What type of mindset or type of banter goes back and forth between two individuals when they say, listen, we're going to do this spot? Is there a lot of trust involved? Is there a lot of feeling of, you know, we have to make this the best we can, so we have to go all out? Is it a combination of those two?
The first thing foremost is trust. Like, without trust, none of that stuff gets accomplished, and none of that you can walk away from after being executed. So the first thing was, like, hey, I want you to give me this. Hey, I want this to be done. I want this. I want this. I want this. So it wasn't like it wasn't the aspect of, you're going to go take. It was like, I want to take. And then he came up with, I want to take. So then we had already had like all this massive stuff that was just like, man, like he's giving me his body. I'm giving him my body. And now we trust each other past 100%. You know what I mean? So like the fact that he knew that he was comfortable like putting out that kind of stuff, putting out the big maneuvers and the big stunts that we were about to pull up, he trusted me with that. And that case, and with that, I trusted him with the stunt that I wanted him to pull off with me. And as far as the storytelling goes, my biggest thing was when Fox came in, right away, and I've already been there for 3 seasons at this point, but right away I wanted Fox to be better than me. Off the back, that I knew that's the story I wanted to tell. Because with Wolverine, Sabretooth was always stronger, faster, and better. So to my Wolverine, I wanted Fox to be my Sabretooth, who was bigger, stronger, faster, and better. He won more matches than me. He beat me up and had the upper hand every single time until, like, later on in the season, got close to Hell of War. I started outsmarting him. So it's always better to have the adversary be better than the person, than the hero that you've already been known to love, because there has to be something when he comes into the story. Your eyes have to be glued on him. Like the Green Ranger coming into the Power Rangers, those 5 guys were already great, but the Green Ranger just beat all of them. That's put eyes on the Green Ranger and made him that much more of a threat. You know, so I wanted Fox to be bigger, stronger, faster, better. So everything, so like with us doing the Matrix nip-up move, I did it. He always bested me with it. He did it. Every time I wanted to do something, he stepped in front of me. He did something cooler than I did. Man, he's outclassing me here. Every time, he always had to step up above me. And that's what I wanted. Because I knew Fox can deliver on it. He's going to, and two, he already does make that super sick stuff look better than me personally. And three, I'm not going to be more athletic than Aaron Fox. So, Fox, you be better than me with this. My biggest strength is going to be the resiliency, always coming back. You can't kill me. I'm always getting back up. Same thing that I proved with Marty the Moth at Weapons of Mass Destruction. I always kept getting back up.
Yeah, you definitely kept coming back up. And I love the comparison you put there when it's like he's your Wolverine to you being Sabretooth. I mean, I know you love it. So what, are you a Marvel guy, DC guy? What's going on here?
Oh, definitely DC, but I do have some Wolverine comics in the
collection. All right, do you think with the new up-and-coming movie, The Justice League, do you think DC is really trying to catch up to Marvel right now compared to all the Avengers movies and the Iron Mans and Thors and Hulk movies that are coming out right now?
They're trying to, but it's such a fast pace right now, it's difficult. Because it's almost like WCW trying to catch up with WWF. You know, WWF's been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. The family's been doing it for years. They know their pattern. WCW's trying to find that rhythm and trying to find that pattern of, you know, your roster, your matches, your top guys, or this. They're trying to find who their top guys in DC universe is. They're trying to find who's the next guy to bring in, who's the next guy. But WWF has already had these guys for years and years and decades, you know, so that it's like that type of catch up. You know, they found their flow. They have the records, they have the resume already. They have that lineage. Now DC's trying to catch up with it.
Shane, you probably get this a lot, probably in every interview that you do. Obviously, left an amazing, it left people talking after your matchup with Dante Fox. You know, it's been the talk now after watching it. Your thoughts, is there a chance that Lucha Underground comes back, and would you be looking forward to doing it?
Right now there is a lot of talk about a season 4. The only issue is just the timing of when it happens. And as far as me coming back to it, it's just like seeing the fact that I just did that match 18 months ago, that's a difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can, like, I don't know where my life or my career is going to be 18 months after I film the next season. You know what I mean? So that's a difficult pill. So like those things are, that's going to be in a, not just my mind, that's going to be in a lot of the Lucha Underground stars' minds. Regarding if they do want to come back and do the next season, if they're going to have like another year and a half, like separation between Ultima Luchas, you know, that's like Mania has 364 days. We can't have like 500 days between our main shows, you know, our big blow off shows. Like people's careers change within 6 months, 3 months, 2 months. People's lives change in weeks after weeks at a time. Especially in the wrestling business, so it's up in the air at this moment, and we got to see what they're offering. We got to see what the guarantees are, because it's not just wrestling anymore; it's a television product. So TV people and producers and executives get in the mix, and it becomes very confusing and it becomes very hasty. So we got to see those. We got to see what's being offered and being promised.
Well, one thing that is guaranteed is that we're going to get a great night of wrestling action between two of the very best out there, and that is Shane Strickland and Ricochet, and that is going to be on Thursday from Gilt Nightclub, MLW One Shot. How did it come about that that would going to be the main event? I know Court Bauer is behind it. We know how talented he is, former WWE creative also, you know, within the podcast business, just very hands-on, and he's going to promote this. Just how did it come about that you and Ricochet were going to be the match that night?
Court Bauer knew that he wanted to put me in the main event right off the bat, and he wanted the number one top guy in the industry right now, which is Ricochet. So it was just a matter of, like, I was going to be able to do it. It was just a matter of, like, oh, Ricochet, are you going to be in Japan? What are you going to be doing at this time? And he signed on to do it, and we couldn't have found a better person to do it, you know. So, and like the camaraderie we already had, that plays into the story as well. So it was just perfect. But yeah, it was just a matter of one. Like I was going to be down to do it regardless who was going to be across the ring. But the fact that it was Ricochet, it just boosted MLW one shot times five, you know what I mean? So,
you know, Shane, something I've always been curious when I always speak to talent, and it's just maybe because I just don't know that aspect of it, so I always love hearing the response now. And I'm sure it's something you get asked over and over again because, again, you wouldn't be in this business if you didn't enjoy it, if you loved it, and you wanted that ball to run with it, basically. So being the main event as it is, you know, you guys kind of talk about it when you guys did that series and those chapters on the internet on MLW.TV, which I thought was really great. I really want to get into in a little bit, but do you feel that added on pressure? Like, listen, they're trusting me and Ricochet to kind of close this out, to sell the tickets, to sell it out. I have to go and perform my best. Is it that pressure you thrive on, or is that pressure just kind of keeps you interested so you know what you're doing this for?
It's a little bit of both. It's something that I thrive on, but it also lets me know that I'm on the right path with my career. That I keep getting pressure situations, you know, like especially like with Hell of War, that was a big pressure situation, and they relied on me for that, and I came through with it. So like, okay, I know I'm doing something right. And now, earlier this year, I was in London and I wrestled against the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega main eventing. So, okay, that makes me know that I'm on the right path in my career. And this is just another one of those points that I'm on the right path in my career, that I'm being trusted with these type big match situations. And that I can look back in my career and be like, look at my resume and be like, man, I've really done some really great stuff. And it's very impressive. And I can show that to people for years to come. And that's what I always wanted, you know, like, and for the longest time, I don't think a lot of people believe that I was the person to be put in the situations. I was always like, they always believed I was talented and had ability in the ring, but to be that guy, to be able to do that, and be the one trusted and staying across the ring from someone like a Ricochet like that, it further reassures me that I'm doing the right thing and I'm on the right career path, and that I was right about believing in myself, and now the rest of the wrestling industry is starting to believe in me as well.
What do you think makes you strive in those type of pressure situations, Shane? Because a lot of people want them, but a lot of people can't handle them.
Some people wilt at the pressure. What makes you above and beyond that?
Being the fact that I'm different from a lot of other guys, not just in wrestling, but my look is different from a lot of other people. You know, my motivation is different from a lot of other people. You know, I'm doing this for my kids. Like, you know, wrestling takes a lot of it takes away from the personal people in your life that you love and care about. You know, and it took me away from my kids. Who live in Pennsylvania while I live in Orlando, Florida. So like this has to work out for me. You know, this, I have to be successful in this, because leaving my kids would have been for nothing if it doesn't, you know? So, that kind of stuff, I have to succeed. It's not whether I want to, or like if I choose to do this, it's like I have to be as successful in this, or else I would have made that sacrifice with my time with my kids for nothing, you know? And, being African-American in the industry like this, it's not as glamorous, or it's not really talked about, spoken about a lot. It's one of those it's one of those things that's very taboo to speak about in wrestling, but it's there, you know what I mean? And the fact that like they're trusting like an African-American male to main event in these shows that across the world like that, it means something. And for me to be one of the guys that do that very, very often, there's also other guys like ACH that does it very often. There's Keith Lee that does it. You know, Leo Rush was doing it. You know, Desmond Xavier's about to start doing his. So, like, all of us, we're that big group of family of guys that, like, man, back in, like, a couple of years ago, there were no African-American guys that were doing that. You know, now we're getting our chance, and we're young getting that chance, too, and being trusted in this. So, there's a lot on my back, not just like for my family, but like for my culture as well.
Very nice. Wow.
Shane, the lead up has been amazing. You can feel the build with your, of course, Brian mentioned on MLW.TV.
Oh, wait, can I say one thing? You can cut the tension with a knife.
Yeah, you can. On MLW 360, Ricochet and Strickland. I want to say, I think that's been really advantageous to you guys for that buildup. And I can see a pattern here. And as I was watching it with Brian, we were looking at it. Well, look, I mean, Shane's in the gym 24/7. He's training. He is getting everything down to the T for
he's
that night.
Focused.
And Ricochet, obviously, is the more seasoned vet. Obviously, he's made it known that, you know, you've learned from him under his branch. But I kind of get the sense that someone's taking this a little bit more seriously, and I think that's you.
I just think my mindset's at a different spot than Ricochet's is. You know, I'll there's times where he does, like, let off the gas a little bit, but he's at the spot that he is because he works hard as well, too. You know, he's one of the hardest working, most traveled guys on the industry, on the planet right now. But I honestly know what this means to me. It's honestly the battle of the guy that wants to be where he is and the guy that against the guy that wants to maintain where he is.
Kind of like that, you know, young and lion and the and that seasoned lion, right?
Oh yeah, the one that Jerry King Lawler butchers
right.
Every single time. That old lion, young lion. Like, we need National Geographic's Discovery Channel here. But I like the comparison
exactly.
though, because to me it's like a buildup of a UFC fight, and you see both training. You see the dominant champion, for example, that's been champion for 10 straight fights. He feels he has it already. Kind of getting away from
teacher student.
Yeah, but also kind of got away from what got him hungry, what got him there in the first place. Now, I'm not saying that Ricochet is taking anybody lightly, but it comes off that way. So that's why this is so intriguing, because you made a great quote in terms of during the videos and those vignettes, is the fact that Ricochet is not ready to have somebody take his throne. You're going to take it. It's not that he's bestowing it upon anybody. You want to take it because you feel it's rightfully yours.
Exactly. Because, like, I worked hard as well. Like, now, for me to say that I worked harder than everybody? No, that's a lie. I don't work harder than everybody, but I do work hard in my own sense. It's just my mindset is just different from everybody else's. I can honestly say that because my work shows that. My work isn't like a copy of everybody else's. My career path isn't the same as everybody else's. You know, I didn't jump through the same hoops. I didn't go to the same promotions in the same order that a lot of these other guys did. I'm going a different path, and I'm finding my own. So my mindset is just different from everybody else's on the industry, and I can say that without a doubt. But I can't say my work ethic is harder or stronger than this guy or this guy or this guy or this man or even Ricochet. Like, that's where I feel like there's a separation right there. Like, I can't say that I work harder, but my mindset is just in a different place than Ricochet's is. You know, just because in a work rate, within the gym, with my creativity, like how I envision how my matches go, how my look is, my music, like all these things all come into one. The things that I do in the ring are just completely different than what I did 2-3 years ago, just because my mind changes constantly all the time. And I don't think a lot of people's mindsets is where mine is. I don't think Ricochet's is where mine is as well. So that's where I have to feel like I have the biggest advantage, and I don't think Ricochet knows that as well as I do. You know, he looks the way he looks because he does work hard. He's worked hard for years. You know, he just won Bola for the second time. You know, he works hard, mm-hmm. and he's still accomplishing things that have never been done before. You know, so I can't say that I work harder than him, but my mindset is just in a different place than his is, and I can honestly, in an MLW one shot, that's going to be proven.
Staying on that topic, though, of your mind being different, I mean, can you kind of explain a little bit from your perspective how difficult it is nowadays in the world of professional wrestling where things aren't mirrored anymore? You talked about how you're not a copycat of anything. You're your own individual. Do you find that's the most difficult thing you see young talent coming in the business of they're mirroring, they're emulating, for example, people they admire rather than trying to find their own path of who they are in the business?
That does happen, and it's true. It does, but like we've all done it though.
We've all
been a carbon copy of somebody. You know, like I've carbon copied Ricochet back in 2013, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I've admitted that for many times in every interview or talk that I've done. You know, he's one of those guys that created something just a different mold and started like a whole different revolution and generation of guys that came after that. You know, they're like opening high spot run, flip, deal, here, boom, boom, this, flip, out, inside, dive, boom, back in, stuff. That was originated by him and Pop back in Dragon Gate. You know, so he started that kind of generation. You know, and from then on, there was like a big class of us that did that for the longest time. But after, and I feel like everybody should copy. In the beginning of our careers, we should copy those guys that done it well. You know, we should. We should copy it. We should emulate it. But when time goes on, you understand, like, okay, now I want to start branching out and going to these other places. I got to start creating something new out of what was created here. You know, just it's like the evolution of the cell phone. You know, the iPhone was the first one to do a flat surface with no buttons. And then we have Samsungs. We have LGs now based off of that. They copied it, but after a while, they went into their own thing. Same with vehicles. Same with artwork, video games. Grand Theft Auto was the first game to go do sandbox style free roam. Then how many games do that now?
Oh, my God.
That doesn't take away the fact that they're not great games. They just all have to be copied after a while. But then move on and then evolve into something that creates its own. So we've all copied and stuff, but after a while we have to evolve and we have to create something that's our own.
Obviously.
And I feel like the problem is, go ahead.
No, continue. I'm sorry about that.
I feel like the only issue right now is just a lot of guys aren't evolving. They're constantly still continuing to do the same thing that their predecessors are doing, and they're doing it on the same shows as them, which is a huge no-no.
Obviously, Shane, you've used Ricochet as a template, and that's not a bad thing to do. And now you want to be your own man, like you said in this in these videos. Right now, to be a professional wrestler and not have to be dependent on getting to the WWE, being able to be successful with social media, how much do you think these videos have led to the buildup of something that everyone is talking about that loves professional wrestling? Is this coming up this Thursday between you and Ricochet? How are you going to use social media going forward as an advantage to get you recognized even more?
Honestly, I'm going to use it for just letting people understand letting them in my mind a little more. You know, like, the success of MLW is going to all be proven by how our main event delivers. Like, I don't want to take away from anybody else that's on the show. All the matches are going to be good. Everybody's going to deliver. But I feel like the success of the entire MLW product in the event, it has to come down to me versus Ricochet. The main event has to deliver, and it has to show that, oh, Strickland can do this. Ricochet already has proven what he can do. He's already proven that he can be the main event. He can go into other countries in front of 40,000 people and go on ESPN talk shows and talk with Steve Austin and stuff. He's already proven that he can do all that. I have yet to proven that I can do it. Me, deep down inside, I know that I can do that. I know that I can when given the opportunity. But now this is my opportunity to show. This is like step one to show that I can do that on the biggest scale.
You ready for it, Shane?
If that makes any sense.
Are you ready for all that media that comes afterwards? Are you ready for that next step in the evolution of your career?
If I'm not, I'm going to have to be. That's for sure.
No, that's definitely.
But I believe that I am.
That's definitely true, Shane, because here's the thing. Like, Jeff and I, we want to be successful in what we do as well, similar to you and everybody who's chasing their dream or doing something that they love, right? But the thing is, the added-on responsibilities, which just add on to the list of things you do. Like you said, you're doing this for your family, and a great thing, telling the backstory that you were born in Tacoma, Washington, you moved to Germany, you went to the military because you're trying to find yourself. Do you feel as if it being maybe more rewarding for yourself to let people in, or is it just a sense of vulnerability too, because you are letting a lot of your personal stuff now out there for the world to see? Is that something that's planned, or is that something that you know is just, it just comes with the territory?
Yeah, it definitely comes with the territory. I believe, honestly, I've always believed that, like, letting a glimpse into our reality is always okay. But letting, like, the entire world see it is a bit much. And this is the most I've ever let any media into my lifestyle like this. But I feel like it's really cool that media is very interested to see that kind of thing about me. Because how often are you really intrigued by someone that you really want to see? Oh, what does he do to prepare for these types of matches? How do you want to be let in? You know, there aren't too many guys on the industry that want to, that you are really intrigued to actually dive in and see that a little bit. And I think I'm really humbled, honestly, that NLW wanted to come into my house, into my life, and really dive in and see a little bit more than what's just on the surface of me. But I'm ready for that kind of thing. But at the same time, after a while, I think I may have to, like, let off of it a little bit and not be so generous with letting so much be seen about my lifestyle. But it's already out there. But I feel this was, like, the opportune, intimate moment that it needed.
You right now, you again, it's going to be Shane Strickland and Ricochet. I'm excited even just mentioning that. You've got me, like, I can't wait to see this. We're on the eve, on the cusp of this amazing matchup. So far right now, to date, your best match that you go back, well, obviously after Thursday night, you'll probably go back and be, this will be a very proud moment. But right now, the match that's highlighted in the back of your mind as the match so far that you've known you've taken to the next level.
I would definitely say Weapons of Mass Destruction was probably that match that did that for me.
Mm-hmm. I just love the name of that, too. Weapons of Mass Destruction. I just love the name of that. It's hilarious. It was awesome. It was an awesome title for it. Well deserved, too, for everything you put into it.
Yeah, I would say that was the one to let them know that I was the guy. I can perform and I can do it. And when given that opportunity, because I asked for those kind of things, I never just like sit back and like let things just go and go and go after a certain time. But when I feel like I'm ready for something and I can do it and I deserve it and I earned it, I definitely speak up about it. And that was one of those things I would like spoke up and like, hey, I can do certain things. I'm ready for this. And they gave me that chance. Then I knocked it out of the park with Marty the Moth. And so, and then I feel like that was when the world saw that I could do that as well.
You definitely did, man.
There's more to look at than this. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely did, Shane. And something I've always been interested in, too, and that's why I have so much respect for what you guys do out there. And looking from my perspective, something I know that I could never do is the amount of punishment you guys put your bodies through. Now, in terms of conditioning, you've been gracious enough to take a few minutes away from the gym, which is sorely needed because you're getting ready for the big main event shot. You're focused on Ricochet. But to me, can you just talk a little bit about the fact that a lot of people feel that, you know, that professional wrestlers, in my opinion, are the most athletic in the world. Can you talk about the condition it takes to become a professional wrestler? Because, I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it. I mean, you're in the gym. We saw you working on your MMA skills during training for this fight. I mean, can you talk a little bit and bring us into what type of conditioning you get yourself ready for these types of matches that you're getting ready to do?
It's honestly, the toughest thing is the breathing aspect. And some people think of like, oh, it's just cardio. No, it's conditioning and it's in-ring conditioning. Because not everybody knows how to take like hits to their body or their body hit the ground and constantly keep getting back up to run or to pick someone up. That's like a different type of conditioning. That's the difficult part. So with that, I try to train strength, do strength training a lot more and which controls my breathing and my picking up and like getting up, back down and stuff like that. It's just learning how to control your breathing and take a fall, continue, get back up, continue to keep moving and continue to take hits, strikes, kicks to the face, kicks to the chest. There's a lot of damage and you have to be able to breathe through all of that. You know, like it's like boxing. And like you're going to take rib shots, punches to the ribs and stuff, and you got and your body needs to learn how to absorb those kind of blows and take that kind of punishment. But with wrestling, it hits everywhere. It's not just like getting hit in the ribs. It's like getting kicked in the ribs. It's falling on your back and it's like going to the floor. It's getting dropped on your head, dropped on your neck. It's so much more punishment that people don't really think of that hurt. Like just running against the ropes hurts your back. It can knock the wind out of you if you don't know how to do it properly and correctly. Mm-hmm. So all those things, it's just like the breathing and conditioning, that's the actual conditioning, not just like, oh, I can do a lot of wind sprints and I ran cross country or all that kind of stuff. I can breathe. My conditioning's good. No, the conditioning is like body, your body damage, taking that kind of stuff. That's what you, that's the type of conditioning you need to be prepared to work on when getting into wrestling. Not like just, oh, I'm in shape and I go to the gym a lot and I look great. It's about honestly performing great and looking great and feeling great. And to be able to just do that for like 20-minute matches, travel, and then do it again the next night, travel, do it again the next night, travel, do it again the next night.
Yeah, speaking of that, Shane, I mean, you'd spoken about before how, you know, you mentioned how Ricochet kind of started this whole revolution where, you know, he would do high spot dive, go in the ring, do flips, come back, and it was just something we had never seen before, and maybe it was the evolution of where the business is going nowadays. But speaking of all that punishment that you take, how do you yourself personally pace yourself for something like that? Because it's one thing of taking bookings, but do you also have to space it where you allow your body to recuperate too? Because believe it or not, that's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about honestly pacing yourself and knowing what you're going to do. Like, try to minimize the amount of damage you're going to take in the match. That's the smartest thing. Understand the output of your offense as well. Are you diving every 5 minutes? Are you doing top rope maneuvers every five minutes? Are you like, does your body take a lot of damage while giving offense? And then taking damage on the defense. So you have to minimize the amount of damage that you're dishing out on the offense. Because, like, even when you deliver offensive maneuvers, there's still damage on your knees. There's still, like, ankles. There's joints that hurt. That's your elbows, your shoulders, your neck, your back, your lower back. Is that still taking damage over and over and over again? You know, those are the things you got to realize and question, ooh, should I be doing this every night? Should I be doing this 3 to 4 times a weekend, you know? And then, like, getting into the gym, you can't even work out if that stuff is sore because you're just inflicting more and more pain upon your joints and your body and those body parts because your offense is so, like, it's like high-risk, high-reward type thing. You know, the crowd's going to be into it, and you're going to perform well, but it takes a toll on your body every time you do it. So it's minimalizing those times that you do it and how often you do it, and how much damage your body's taking doing that kind of offensive stuff.
We're here with Shane Strickland. Now, there was a great quote that you mentioned in one of these videos. You said that you will always love Trevor Mann, but part of you sometimes despises Ricochet. Just elaborate on that.
I feel like a lot of guys in the industry can say the same thing about that kind of stuff, because like Ricochet is such a glorified name now, and Ricochet lives off of that, the glory of it. And sometimes when those guys with all that glory and attention and all that success with what they've done and what they continue to do, when other guys step up to it, they always want to push them back down a little bit because they don't want to. Those guys are always protective of that spot, of that air, of that. Of that glory. You know, there's a lot of guys in the industry, but sometimes there's only one championship belt and one person has to hold it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, you're doing good, but slow down. You're doing too good. There's a lot of envy in the wrestling industry as well as the entertainment industry. You know, like that goes with anything like rap, rock and roll music, whatever, entertainment, acting. Not everybody can be the leading role. Comedians, not everybody can be the last one to go on, you know, so there's a lot of envy when you see a lot of people doing good and one person coming up above everybody else that has their own spotlight a little bit. Not everybody wants to see that, you know. I've always said this on social media, not everybody wants to see you do well.
Yeah.
People want to see you do okay. Doing okay is good, but doing well, doing great, not everybody wants to see that because you're doing great. And if this person's doing great, that takes that glory away from you doing great. So now everybody wants to see you do great. So so there's times Ricochet takes to the social media and tries to put people down instead of up like instead of bring them up a little bit. You know.
No, I completely understand what you're
talking about as well. Yeah.
No, I completely understand what you're talking about, Shane. And we thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your time and your busy schedule to come speak with us. One more thing I want to ask you, too. You spoke about the fact of, you know, when you get to that higher echelon, you become a name, you become more recognizable. You're in that spotlight, right? You have the tendency, some people might have the tendency to want to push people down because they're worried about their spot or they bring people up. When you start moving up, and hopefully after this match, it won't be necessarily Shane Strickland trying to take the throne over Ricochet. It'll be Shane Strickland making a name for himself even more different than Ricochet is. How do you keep yourself humble? I mean, the mere fact that you seem to have a really good head on your shoulders, you speak very eloquently, your thought process is amazing. I love the way you describe certain things. How do you keep yourself so humble and level-headed in a business where it's very easy to kind of get lost in the journey of trying to be the top guy?
Well, for me, I honestly believe, I don't think I'm paid well enough to not be humble. Yeah. You know, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good for myself. You know, I can pay my bills. I can take care of my kids, but I'm not living in a mansion. I'm not like living in Hollywood or anything like that. I don't have three cars out front of my house. So like until I have those things, I'm always going to be striving to working hard for something. You know, I still don't believe I'm better than Sami Callihan. I still don't believe I'm better than, like, a lot of these guys that are just, like, phenomenal guys, you know. I haven't done as much as those guys. There's still a lot for me to do. So I don't ever believe I'm the best in the world. You know, I don't ever try to put myself on a pedestal or put myself on my own throne, you know. I never do that kind of stuff because I always feel like I'm always working harder towards something else. You know, I'm not content with anything. Like, I believe when I become content is when I'm in trouble with my career. Because that's when I'm like, okay, it's either time for me to move on or just to get out. So, like, those are the things that keep me down to earth. I'm still working for something. I'm still striving to get, like, that last prize at the end of the end of my career. I still haven't gotten it yet. I'm getting a lot of things that I never in a million years would have imagined me getting. Like, I have the CZW World title, Ringmaster title for Wrestle Circus, and the Defy title. You know, those are things I would never thought I would have gotten at one time, you know, and they're putting those trust in me to do that kind of stuff. So those are things I'm getting that I'm really, every accomplishment I feel like, oh, okay, that just reassures me I'm on the right path to getting to where I want to go. But I never feel like, oh man, I got it. I'm the best in the world now. Oh man, I accomplished this. Now I'm the best. Oh, I got this. Every accolade. Oh, I just wrestled these guys. Now I'm the best. People believe I'm the best now. I wrestled PWG. I'm the best. No, it doesn't work that way. It just, those accomplishments just, for me, reassures me that I'm constantly going into the right direction. That's all that means to me. And that's what keeps me going.
And Shane, that direction, where do you think it's ultimately going to be leading you to? Possibly WWE? Is that the ultimate goal?
Possibly. That's the ultimate goal. I just want to be able to put forth, put aside a big fund for my kids to grow up to and go to school and live off of. That's my ultimate goal. Whether that be WWE or whatever, New Japan or whatever wrestling promotion pops up within the next 10 years that can allow me to do that, that's my ultimate goal to do.
Gotcha.
I mean, Shane, you're so motivated to make this a very special night. You said so, that you don't hope to win. You're going to win. You need to win. And obviously, you seem like you're ready. You're set. You want this to happen, like, right now, right?
I honestly, Shane, I feel sorry for Ricochet. I really do.
It's like it's going to go down right now. So, listen, I just want to say the best of luck to you. And we know you guys are going to put on a great show. And excited to have had a chance to talk to you on the eve of this great matchup. So, best of luck, Shane.
Thank you guys very much, man.
All right. Thanks, Shane. And that is Shane Strickland, folks. MLW One Shot. The King of Swerve against, you know, King Ricochet. It's going to be amazing. And again, thank you so much for coming on.
You know, Jeff, I don't make predictions. I make spoilers. And the spoiler is that Shane Strickland is going to defeat Ricochet. There's going to be a new king over that throne, and it's going to be Shane Strickland.
Yeah, I listen, you hear it in his voice, man. He's ready.
Shane, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. Like I said, utmost respect for what you do, dude. Looking forward to the to the event with Ricochet. There's no doubt there. You have a bright future ahead of you, man. And we're just so thankful you took time out of your day to speak to us, because we have nothing but respect for what you do in the ring, man.
Oh, dude, thank you very much. Thank you for having me, man. Great. Seriously.
All right, thanks goes out to Shane Strickland. Dude, the guy wants it. The guy is motivated. The guy could have fought right now if he wanted to. And, you know, he's on the eve of a very important matchup, and we thank him so much for joining us here on the High Spot Podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, at Strickland Shane. Dude, how motivated does he sound?
He's got me so motivated, Jeff, that I want to go to the gym right now and start pumping some iron, just exercising, because you know what? I've seen UFC specials, I've seen boxing specials, and you have that sense that, you know, when you're watching it or you're listening to somebody being interviewed, like we interviewed Shane, he just has that type of laser focus in his mind. He's thinking of nothing else but winning, and that's the kind of mindset you have to get yourself to that next level, which he says he wants. Everything he's done to this point of his career, he's mentioned that it's been reassurance that he's on the right track. I think a win over Ricochet, knowing how important it is for him, how important it is for the stability of his family who he's doing this for, I think at this point, a win over Ricochet is so vital in his mind that he already feels he's going to win. Nothing's going to stop him. I think right now, he's not only in the right direction, but after something like this and after we see the results of what happens in this main event fight, regardless, he's going straight to the top.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm telling you, that is something that everyone is talking about. And again, we thank Shane Strickland for joining us. But that is not the only action you're going to see at MLW One Shot. Again, it is presented by Court Bauer. Tony Schiavone, for one night only, will be on commentary for that night. So you're going to get a little mix. You're going to have Tony Schiavone, who's on an unbelievable podcast with Conrad Thompson. I mean, he is
old school.
He has revived his wrestling career and his passion through the podcast. And of course, he will do it one night only. He will do commentary for MLW. So not only do you get that, but you get Tony Schiavone in the house. And then you got MVP against Sami Callihan. Talk about a guy that's made a name for himself after leaving WWE. Sami Callihan has just taken the ball and rolled with it on the independents. He's having an even better successful career than he did in NXT.
Without a question, Jeff. But the thing is, comes back to the same idea and mindset where, you know what, sometimes you have to bet on yourself. And as much as we talk about WWE, as much as we grew up watching it and is the end-all be-all of sports entertainment, I really feel that it's not the only place to be. And especially now, as you and I talk about as the weeks go by and previous weeks, that there's so much more out there. So why not take a step? Maybe this isn't the right time for you. WWE says the doors are always open. Go out, make a name for yourself, bet on yourself. And, you know, seeing Sami Callihan, seeing guys like, you know, Ricochet and Shane Strickland, these guys are just going out there making names for themselves in leagues like Ring of Honor and New Japan or on the independent scene. You know, just so much good talent out there that's untapped potential, I feel. Why not? Why not do it? Because you know why? You have control of yourself. You have control of your own destiny. Why wouldn't you want that? And that's what Sami Callihan's doing.
Also on the card, you got Jeff Cobb and Filthy Tom Lawler, Santana Garrett against Mia Yim. I mean, we just saw these females at the Mae Young Classic, and they're going to, you know, go one-on-one at MLW One Shot. Then you get Maxwell Jacob Friedman, very well known here in the Northeast, against Jimmy Utah. And then, of course, Martin Stone with his open contract. And then not only that, but you will get names the likes of Jason Cade, Barrington Stone, Mike Parrow, plus so much more. I bet you there's going to be surprises galore, courtesy of Court Bauer. So it's going to be an amazing night, MLW One Shot from Gilt Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. And it happens this Thursday. And again, we can't thank Shane Strickland enough from joining us here on the very special episode of the High Spot Podcast.
God knows I have. So you guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berger, the trendsetter.
One more thing, right? I just say follow us on iTunes, subscribe, listen, download, leave a 5-star review, because hey, you know what? Shows like this come because you, the fans, are so loyal, and we get you Shane Strickland on the eve before MLW One Shot.
And we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Thank you guys so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Friday when we interview Miranda Salinas, competitor from the Mae Young Classic. Can't wait to get a little insider head of, you know, what it's taken her to get to this point in her career and what the future holds for her, Jeff.
Exactly. And what it's like to wrestle for Reality of Wrestling and train under Hall of Famer Booker T. So excited for that one. Miranda Salinas is our guest on the High Spot Podcast this Friday as we get back to our normally scheduled programming.
Yes. The only way the Jersey Wrecking Crew can bring you guys. So can't wait to catch you on Friday, because Friday, Jeff, is just going to be
too sweet. Oh, wait a minute. Is that a cease and desist?